And remember, your lines are always open. I always like getting, comments from you, insights from you about what you see happening around you and also grappling with the everyday issues that we all do. So the World Health Organization, their chief information security officer, his name is Flavio Agio, he's confirmed that hackers attempted to break into the organization earlier this month. And this is according to Reuters. And there's also a cybersecurity expert, Alexander Ublis, who said that he had detected suspicious activity on the 13th of March when hackers had been tracking and begun mimicking at least the World Health Organization and its internal email system. I mean, why would anybody want to do that? Jan Vermeulen, editor-at-large at My Broadband. Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, good question. And one of the experts who weighed in on this and who have been analyzing this said that, well, I mean, any information about cures or tests relating to the coronavirus would be priceless and the priority of any intelligence organization of an affected country. And so basically casting aspersions not only on people who might want to sell this information, but also on the intelligence apparatus of other nations who might, you know, want information that the WHO might have and they not. And so certainly that would rule out, countries who have open relationships with the World Health Organization, because I expect the rest of us, are sharing information quite freely with one another to try and curb the spread of this virus.
Now, I would imagine, there are different types of hackers. Some young people come together and they hack for S and giggles. Others are linked to the state. Others are linked to corporations. You saying these might be state-linked?
Well, the researcher is saying don't discount it. So it can be basically one of two things here. It's either somebody trying to get a hold of information that they can monetize, or it's somebody or it's a state. Some kind of state actor trying to get a hold of information for their own purposes. So those are the two options that they're thinking of. But also saying that when we're talking about somebody monetizing the information, it could be basically a criminal operation. Somebody trying to get a hold of information to try and fool people into giving them money.
Now, Jan, I just wanted to get a handle on that. I mean, there's not much you're going to talk about, right? They haven't really done much damage. They tried to get in. Obviously, there are people who are well-versed at this who started investigating it. But I want to talk about COVID-19 in general from a technology perspective. Premier was saying to me this morning, your average corner computer shop seems to be having an uptake in business these days for obvious reasons.
Okay, that's an interesting statistic. As people are trying to get a hold of information and trying to pass the time.
Yeah, well, they're trying to. Number one, I mean, if you look at Tencent, one would have thought that their share price would have crashed along with everybody else. But now that people are quarantined, what do?
Yeah, exactly.
The only way to stay connected is through online. Some people might traditionally have used their phones to do that, but now they need to busy themselves with a lot more. And maybe I should go and get myself a desktop computer. Oh, by the way, if I get the desktop computer, will I be able to play Steam games on it? If I'm going to do learning remotely, or if I'm going to have to operate and do my office work from home, I still want to be productive. Maybe I should get a computer and do that.
Right, and certainly, if you are in a position to be thinking about such things, you're going to need to act fairly quickly, because I'm getting notices from the computer shops I frequent a lot, warning me that they are shutting down completely for the duration of the lockdown. Mm. So if you want a device, then you need to make sure that you get it before the lockdown starts on Friday morning.
Absolutely. And how do you see this changing, from a technology perspective, the route we're taking? We were always told, oh, no, we can't work remotely. We'll maybe phase it in over 5 years, when we really now we've just gotten a kick up the pants. And it looks like the world's going to move forward a lot quicker.
Right. And so essentially what we're busy doing is conducting a global experiment in work from home. And so I hope that there's going to be some research out of this at the end of the day to show, hey, this is how effective it is in, you know, in these industries. And, you know, this is what we saw, you know, during the coronavirus outbreak of 2020 in terms of remote work and how productivity increased, declined, stayed the same, you know, across industries, demographics, and so on. So you break it down, and that'll help companies make more informed decisions about work from home, because there's almost a fear in management about allowing people to work from home, because you relinquish a level of control and monitoring when you allow people to do that. But hopefully this will, as you say, catapult us into the future. And at the very least, if someone is even slightly sick, have them stay home and let them work from home. You know, if they're not so sick that they can continue working and they would have come to the office on a normal day so they don't use up their sick leave or whatever the case might be, rather just have them work from home, not take leave, work from home, but not come to work and infect everybody else. So it doesn't have to be as serious a virus as this. Normal flu kills a lot of people every year. If we can just break the chain of infection of normal flu, fewer people would die.
Well, there we go. Jan Vermeulen, editor at large of My Broadband.